This is The Film Effect with Tiff.
I got into broadcasting because I like to give.
That's my cab.
Sometimes I found myself hurting from giving too much.
Fire these people.
But it's Christmas.
Bah humbug.
Are going to be visited by three ghosts. Expect the first one tomorrow at noon.
God, tomorrow's bad for me, Lou.
Okay, I'm back. It's me. I'm here. And we're trying to podcast. I have my friend Rob.
Hello.
Rob Waters.
That is my name. Hi.
And it's not the guy that made all those movies in Baltimore.
No, that is... I'm not John.
No, you're not.
I'm not John. Okay. And I'm not Roger either. There's a lot
That's
of...
That's right.
I know. There's That's a few right. Waters out there.
Do people ever say that to you?
Yeah.
They do?
Mm-hmm.
Which one? The Rob Waters? Like, what do they...
Probably get John. Like, are you related to John? Like, no.
Oh.
Like, there's a lot of that. Because we're close enough, That's like, right. in That's vicinity. Right. You know, he's a Baltimore. I'm here.
True.
I can't pull off the mustache, though.
No, you're way cooler. Sorry, no. He's cool. We're not going to fuck with him.
Yeah, come on. Let's not do that. Come
on. He's very cool.
Oh, wait. Can I do this? I want to do this. This is for the Foley people out there. Hold on.
Go.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So good.
If you guys are looking for any of that in your upcoming shorts, mm-hmm. he's ready. He's
That's
prepared.
That's for all my Foley heads out there.
Could that be a side gig? Could I just record... sounds and then sell them on the internet?
You probably can.
It's like,
oh my
B-roll,
god, if I wasn't a director filmmaker,
yeah.
Foley artist is the best job you could have.
It seems like it.
It's the great, you know, you just walk around and like, I'm gonna make it sound like sand. All right, I'm gonna get a paper bag and just put sand in it and have
sick.
Fake shoes and walk across. Oh man, I want a head to explode. Where's a cantaloupe? I need to get a cantaloupe and punch the shit out of it.
That does seem fun.
It's great.
Yeah, well. Okay, guys, so we're actually doing a Christmas movie. I'm close to Christmas. I actually was able to get this together.
And I kind of twisted your arm here because you said you're not a huge Christmas
It's okay.
Person.
Well, I did Krampus. Didn't we talk about Christmas movies one time?
Yeah, you were thinking about doing Krampus. Well, Krampus is pretty good.
I don't know why. I think, well, we just talked previous to this sit down. And I have to admit, don't get mad at me, but I'm not a huge Christmas movie person.
It's okay.
Probably because of my personal life, but I do like some Christmas movies, and you pulled Scrooged,
mm-hmm.
which I was like, oh my God, I love that movie. It's like one of my favorites.
It's my favorite Christmas movie.
It's so good.
Yes.
It's so good. If you haven't seen it, please go watch it right now.
Go to the altar that is Murray.
Yeah.
You know, I do worship at that altar quite a bit.
Oh my God. He's the best.
But our age group, everyone tends to go to, Christmas Vacation, which is a perfect...
What about Elf? I feel like everyone loves Elf.
Elf's a little bit younger than us. That's like a millennial movie.
That's true. Christmas Vacation is like my family's...
Yeah, that's what we grew up with it, and it's mm-hmm. it is perfect. But, which I do love it, but the reason Scrooge is one of my favorites, probably mm-hmm. my favorite Christmas movie, is that it's kind of weird, it's a little shaggy, and I'm not saying it all works... But the ending is just this
so good,
beautiful monologue of a crazy ending that only Murray could do.
He's the best.
Yeah.
I think if you love Bill Murray, this is like up there in his movies for me. Like, although I grew up watching like Stripes. My dad loved that movie.
Sure. I mean,
so
this is the first like one Murray had that was like his. It was all his.
Oh, was,
he was
it?
Always,
see, I knew you were going to know.
Yeah. He was always in ensemble kind of things. Like, you look at, you know, Ghostbusters, like, that's ensemble.
Of course.
Even, like, Meatballs, like, while you think, like, he's the lead, he's
right.
not in it that
Meatballs.
Much.
Oh
he's really
God.
Not in it. Same with Stripes. So this was, like, all him, you
it's
know.
True. And he's lasted. I mean, he's doing movies still, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. He's still doing great stuff.
I just think he's timeless, kind of.
I always... Now, I know he's become like the cool thing. A lot of young hipsters love him from mm-hmm. Wes Anderson's and all that.
That's
I
right.
have to admit that I've been on the Murray train my entire life.
Yes.
I saw everything he did in the theater. And I'm talking the bad period.
Right, I need to pull it up now.
I'm talking Larger Than Life. You know that one? Bill Murray and an elephant.
Wait a second.
It's a thing. I saw it in the theater.
It's so funny what they have him on IMDb known for, which are like these like movies that are not like his original. Lost in Translation, Rushmore, Moonrise Kingdom. These are not movies that he's known for, is he?
My favorite movie of his is Lost in Translation.
That's a great movie.
That's one of my top 10.
That's a really good one.
Because I feel like if there is
Groundhog Day.
Is that there?
No, I mean, they don't have it in this top four that they chose, but
blasphemy.
Like. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. What? I'm like, no. Groundhog Day. That's like totally his movie. Okay, so if you guys are just like listening to us ramble.
Sorry, we do have a movie to talk about here.
It's okay. We're talking about the movie Scrooge.
Focus in.
It's okay. I'll just get started, then we can go on all the tangents. I'm trying to just pull up. You probably have more info than me. I'm just going to the.
Well, how we do it? Like, IMDb. You know, it's been a while since I've been on your lovely podcast. We talked about. Do we need to talk about like what this movie is about, or do we just?
I'm just going to give you the deets. It's like, okay, Scrooged. That's like, you know, ED, not mm-hmm. Scrooge. There's a D on the end of this. It's 1988 is when it was made. Directed by Richard Donner. Writers Mitch Glazer, Michael O'Donohue, and then it says Charles Dickens, which is kind mm-hmm. of funny. Stars, of course, Bill Murray, Karen Allen, John Forsythe. There's a lot more, many more people.
Soundtrack by
movie.
Danny Elfman.
There you go. What else do you have?
That's the main stuff. What's interesting about
it is the main stuff
is that it kind of has. So it's around the time where Tim Burton got really big. Like
okay, so 88, yeah.
So there's kind of like a Tim Burton feel to it. I know a lot of that has to do with Danny Elfman's music because, you know, he did all Tim Burton stuff.
But I can see what you're saying. Like the special effects and the
yeah,
like, ghost
stuff.
Yeah, it's
a little weird.
It's a little weird.
And Richard Donner is kind of a great mm-hmm. kind of like workman director. And he's not known for that. Like he's known for Goonies and Superman and Lethal Weapon.
Oh.
So like this is an odd swing for him.
It's great. I mean, I love it. I also like, so if you don't know, I'm going to tell you what their little blurb here is about what the movie's about. Francis Xavier Cross is a cynical, mean-spirited television executive. He treats his loyal assistant with contempt. He just sacked a member of staff on Christmas Eve for simply disagreeing with him.
The great Bobcat Goldthwait.
That's right. Yeah? That's right. Milkman. And he's...
Milkman!
The lines. And he, what does it say? He's alienated himself from his brother who still insists on inviting Frank to Christmas dinner. This is the weirdest. Does this sound accurate to you?
No, that's it. That's,
I mean,
you know,
it is, despite it is. Him refusing to go every year. However, Frank is forced to learn the true meaning of Christmas when he's visited by three ghosts. So this is, it's basically like a Christmas carol.
It's a modern version of the Christmas
it's carol. It's a modern day Christmas carol. And there's been many takes on it.
And this is a great take.
A lot of animated takes on it.
Yeah. There's the Muppet one. That's a good one.
Oh, the Muppet one. You're right.
That's so good. All right. Anyway, we're going
off. All right. So I'm
going
to ask this because now I'm just getting started. So first of all, did you like A Christmas Carol?
Like the actual story?
Yeah. Like, did you see it as a kid?
Yeah. I've always loved
it. And like, what did you think?
Because
I was thinking that when I was watching this, like, did I like the original story?
I think it's a perfect story. It's great.
I really like it, maybe because I've always liked,
you know, it is
scary ghost stuff, and I love that there's like three ghosts, and they take you through your life, and then they show you everything, you know, so that this miserable asshole can like come to terms with himself. And
it's a great, you know, Dickens is such a great writer in that it's almost like simplistic, like streamlined in a way, mm-hmm. even mm-hmm. though it has very flowery language and all that, but his story structure is always so tight, and it's just going to look at your past, look at your future. Like, and I like Christmas Carol, but still this, when I saw this in the theater, this probably was more of my like touchstone for what the story is.
It's cool. Like it's a cool twist on it. And I think it's like, really creative. Like I love the way they brought in all the different ghosts. And
well, let's start with the beginning. Where it starts with the day the reindeer died. The TV movie where it's a $1 million man comes in and saves them. Where a huge missile comes from out of nowhere and like hits Santa Claus's workshop. And you know, Santa Claus opens up the gun rack with all these kind of things. And the funny thing is, Now there's a lot of like violent Christmas movies.
There are, actually. I was thinking that too.
But now, but back then it was like,
no.
Holy shit. No. Look at this.
We didn't have Krampus then. We didn't have, well, Die Hard is like, but it's not like, I mean, it's kind of a Christmas, it's a Christmas movie, but.
Ooh, that's a hot take. You're going to get, if anyone actually listens.
There'll be, well, I'll get some more. I found that I have listeners, guys, you're listening, who's out there. I have my dedicated small group of listeners. Yeah. I think they're still out there.
Like when we were doing our Die Hard screening, we couldn't give away like that it was Die Hard. And I knew it was though,
I just knew.
But the one, like we can only give clues, and Rector would not let me do the clue that this is the most argued Christmas movie. Is it a Christmas movie or not?
True.
And personally for me, I kind of don't think it is. Die Hard.
I'm trying to like rethink that movie right now.
Here's my like schematic of whether it's a Christmas movie.
Okay.
If you took the Christmas out of Die Hard, it'd still kind of be Die Hard, you know?
Right.
So to me, it's not quite a Christmas movie. It's kind of like the same with like Gremlins.
Well, I mean,
or
nobody
like
finds the Christmas spirit. I mean, isn't that what we need?
They're just at a Christmas party.
What do you need for a Christmas movie to be a Christmas movie?
It could have been any kind of party.
Yeah, I mean, there can be violence, and but like in the end, isn't it supposed to be about that kind of like whatever that is, the Christmas spirit?
The fucking spirit of Christmas, goddammit.
Christmas spirit.
Do you feel it? Do you?
I feel like I still need to find the Christmas spirit. So can they make a movie about me?
Yet if you watch the Bill Murray ending, if you're not there.
Oh, man.
Gets me every time.
I don't
man.
Even have a moment to walk into where there's like all these people that have a speech. Give me a reason, guys.
I cry every time.
Invite me to a holiday party so I can like just go on a rant.
Niagara Falls. It's my best.
We're gonna have. Sorry, we're busting into all the lines. So if you don't already know, please go watch this before you listen because we're just gonna ruin it.
I love the rambling of a podcast.
But you know what's funny is we can't really ruin it because it is a Christmas Carol and we all know what a Christmas Carol is.
We know the story.
Everyone knows, right? Yeah. I mean, most people. I was kind of thinking about It's a Wonderful Life, which is not the same thing at all, no. But it is kind of like similar in the sense that somebody has to look at their life and see the value of what is when they don't think there's any value left. And they've kind of become disillusioned with life. And I don't know, there's a similar thing there with him being a grump and like hating on everything.
Yeah. He's an asshole. And then, you know, he sees the importance of the influence he has on people around him and just that he can make a difference.
Okay.
And then that happens. So, all right, I'm going to go into the story.
So, yeah, let's go. We can walk through it a little bit. Let's go.
I'm going to start with the story why it is my favorite.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I'm going to throw like a personal.
Yay!
Personal moment. Personal moment. Is there like a ding or something? Hold on.
I mean, there's something here. Hold on. There's like a. That's like an applause. It sounds like rain, but it's supposed to be an applause.
Personal
woo! I heard Mighty go woo.
I like it.
Okay, so there you go.
I'm going to take a swig of this delicious right, Christmas ale that I brought.
Do it.
So
okay.
I saw it in the theater when I was young, when it came out.
Okay.
I did love it. But so when I really, like in my mind, why it became my favorite, where I was, it was my freshman year in college.
Okay.
And so a little personal thing about me, if I don't really get sick that often. I can kind of get through it and it's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But if I get a stomach flu, my body, it's different than anyone else. I usually end up. Oh, wow. You did.
Sorry,
is that a rib shot?
I don't know what these are. Hold on. That's a good one.
Wait.
Okay.
Wait, let's do that again. Hold on. Get ready to push it. I'm going to tell you when.
That one.
I had to go to the hospital because I threw up until I passed out. Nice.
It's a good one, actually.
Solid.
I'm going to use the little sound pad. It's great. Okay.
So anyway, I would usually end up in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, that's still kind of how it goes for me.
That's funny. That's happened to me too.
So it was freshman year. I was in the dorm at UD, and everyone had kind of left to go home, and my parents were really home yet. So I had to stay in college for like another like few days before I got to go home.
Right.
So I'm in this dorm room alone, and then I get the flu, And I get it so bad. And you know, it's like you don't have bathrooms in your room. I have to crawl to the unisex bathroom.
Or you have to have a bucket.
Or a bucket, which I did have, but it got kind of overflowing. So 2 days of
just...
I almost
hit the sound pad again.
Yeah, just sorry, you almost want to get it, didn't you?
Overflowing. Go ahead.
Slap your hand right now.
Yeah.
So I was just, the fever was terrible. I was throwing up for days and I was just so sick and I was just alone. And it was just like, I couldn't get home yet. And there's nothing to do. No one could really help me. And like, no one can get me to the infirmary. So it's like, I don't know, man. I just got to get through this. And you know, if everyone has the same kind of college experience where like you went out to like the local thrift store and you bought the shitty couches. You bought it for $20, but you're so proud of them.
Yes.
And it's like, that only has 20 cigarette burns for $20. It's mine. I'm taking it home. So I had this really shitty lazy boy that I lived in essentially for those few days. And when my fever broke, like when I just all of a sudden was like, I'm okay. It was right when he was giving the monologue. I was watching Scrooge. Oh. He was giving the monologue at the end. And it was just beautiful. Like just sitting there in I could not imagine how bad that room smelled.
Yeah.
But Bill Murray giving that monologue when I'm just like coming out of this fever dream of a hell few days. Well, it'll always be my favorite.
And you have this great memory now.
I know. It's a fucked up memory, but it is what makes me love it.
It's like a Christmas miracle.
It was a bit of a Christmas miracle. It's like a miracle. I lived to see Christmas.
Was it Christmas time when you watched this?
Yeah, yeah. It was like, okay. I'm saying everyone went home for Christmas break. Yeah. So okay. I was alone.
Oh my God. I missed that part somehow. And I've been here the whole time.
I just said it. Yeah, that's fine.
It's okay. You know. It must be, I don't know, something.
I'm just a terrible storyteller. That's
no, it's
how it
really
is.
Me. It's been me lately. I'm like, my brain's just like, Stay
in the moment.
On course. It's funny. I'm looking at this and I'm seeing Gremlins because it's saying like, here's some other suggestions. And I was thinking the same thing about that as you said about Die Hard.
Gremlins could not. I don't think it's a Christmas movie.
It's like, but it's all also considered like Christmas time. Same kind of thing, but it's like not at all. I mean,
you could take it out. It does start.
Which I loved Gremlins.
Gremlins.
Which is so weird because it's so twisted. Like,
and it starts with the greatest Christmas song there is. It starts with, you know, Christmas, Baby Please Come Home.
Yeah, that's
best
a good
Christmas
one.
Song ever.
That's a good song.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what a great gift. I mean, if I got this cool fucking gizmo, I'd be so excited. What are those things called?
Mogwais.
And of course, it's all about responsibility. All right, we should talk about that another day. Yeah, that's a great parenting story. Don't give your
push
kids anything.
Push another one of the buttons.
This one. Oh, man, that's a good one.
That's a good one. Coming up tonight.
Woo. Next time.
Okay. Special guest.
That's a good one. Okay, so let's get into it.
We're into it.
How should we start?
I just talked about, the night the reindeer died, where their million dollar man comes in and kind of saves. Majors comes in, saves the day, saves Santa Claus.
It's a ridiculous story, right?
And then it's the night that reindeer died.
Yeah.
So good. And then the next one is Robert Goulet's old-fashioned Cajun Christmas.
So I think that's what's great about it is because this movie just like makes fun of a lot of stuff. And it's also centered around that his job is a TV network. And I grew up watching, like, that was something I could relate to watching it. Like, even the scenes when he goes back in time and he's looking at himself in the past as a little kid watching Planet in front of the television. Like, sorry, Mom and Dad, you did that shit to me. Like, we were Planet in front of the TV. And I've said this on here before. There was that show that was on HBO with Phil Reiser where he, like, do you know what I'm talking about? Am I dating myself?
Keep going.
It was like a show where he like had grown up in front of the TV and he's like an adult.
It's a Dream On?
Yes, I think it is Dream On. Damn, man.
See, this is why you have me.
You're good, but like he's always relating his experiences back to shows that he grew up with.
There was a lot of sex on that show too. I remember that.
I don't remember that.
There was a lot of like middle-aged sex on that show. Am I going to take this away from you?
You may have to.
I might have to take
you
it
may
away.
Have to. Put some tape it's only when
this.
I find the right thing that you said, but that was it.
That was good. Well played.
It was good. But yeah, so like, I would like, first of all, for someone who was a movie person, that already is just so awesome, the way they're making fun of, like,
it's a good way to start a film.
Yeah,
just
and
start
it's also
start
showing
a film with
you,
trailers.
Yeah, and it's also showing you right away what this situation is like, who this person is, for him to be showing this kind of trailer, and everyone's just sitting around this boardroom like, this is a little violent. Like, it's Christmas, you know?
Well, I mean, then you have like the full promo for the night.
They're doing the live,
The live Christmas Carol.
Yeah, which is a massive undertaking. Like, they don't even do that anymore.
And it just has all the great jokes, like America's old fart, and you know, and like Tiny Tim is what's her name? She was the acrobat.
Oh my God, Mary Lou Retton! Like, oh my God!
It's like, you know, and one of the sidebars like, you know what my kids love? They love an acrobat.
It's so awesome.
And you know, and Bill Murray has the great line. It's like, now I have to kill all of you.
Right. Yeah. And I guess like right away he is a dick, right? Mm-hmm. Like we get that impression pretty quickly, the way he's treating everyone in the room. They're all terrified of him. His secretary is like, I don't know. He like walks across the room and she's like running with the coffee to meet him. Like,
but there's
so
always like just the great amount of like, you could tell like a little bit of ad lib. They give him just enough room where he's walking by the real Picasso like ugly painting
of a
woman.
Oh, and he says,
"Mom,"
or something.
Like, "Mother, help me."
Yeah.
You know, just, oh, it's so good.
I guess I would, do you think that's all ad lib or do you think that's scripted?
I think some is scripted, but I think he does.
But he's so quick.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the stuff, it just comes out like.
Because we're going to get into the ending because that is mostly ad libbed.
Yeah, and that's the part that I read that too. And you can kind of tell when you watch it.
That's what makes it amazing.
It's so good.
That is what makes it my favorite, is that like I've never seen anything like that.
No. Do you know if it was like just one take?
Well, I think, you know, it's one take.
I don't know enough about
that. And then
that.
they filmed stuff afterwards to make it all more. So he told Richard Donner the night before.
Right.
So we're going, we're flashing to the end.
Sorry, we're all over the place.
But you know what? In case you decide to click out of here early, here's the ending.
Don't leave us. Come on, give it a chance.
So, you know, he comes out, he realizes that he's been a terrible person, and we get the super happy Bill Murray that we're used to seeing. And there was supposed to be a bit of a speech, you know,
right,
like
yeah.
that was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
But Bill Murray called the director, Richard Donner, the night before. He's like, look, just have all your camera crew ready. I have an idea.
That's cool.
I have something I want to do. And he's like, what do you mean? So just have them all ready. Have all the cameras ready to go. Mm-hmm. I have something I want to do. And he comes in and just gives this why you should love Christmas, why you should love humanity speech. Mm-hmm. And he really does cry. And it really is. Richard Donner has said, like, Bill Murray was a star, but that was the time I saw him become an actor.
Wow.
When he saw him do this. Like,
it's a great scene.
Yeah. And it's just...
I mean, I watched it this morning and I cried. I have to admit that I did.
Oh, I will cry every time.
It's powerful. And maybe that's why, because it's like authentic. Like, it's not like he had to rehearse that. And
no, he's really crying.
Like it's real. Like, yeah. he really feels that moment. And
he does it with the voice. You know, you can hear, like, right. He does the crying voice. I haven't felt this good in a long time.
Yeah, I love when he does that. Oh, man. I have some issues with this story.
That's fine. We can get into that.
You know what's funny? The only thing I really have a problem with is this whole thing with the girlfriend. What's her name again in the story? He's lumpy. What is her name?
Well, her real name is Karen Allen.
I know, but what is her... Sorry, guys. I just watched this.
Claire.
Claire Bear.
I'm blowing my nose off camera.
It's okay. I'll talk. I'm so sorry. I should have, like... killed them just so you can come in. That's just kidding. I'm just kidding. Can't you just staple it on? Okay.
It would have been worth
it. Can you just and maybe it's just like movies of the time, or maybe it's because I have lived too much life and had too many marriages.
That he's an asshole?
I think I have a hard time in stories, and I have had this argument, not this argument, but I've brought this up with other women about how we have been like fed ideas around love,
sure,
and being chosen, and we just kind of like a lot of times in movies, like women just like accept because they're finally like, well, now I pick you, and they're like, oh, and then I'm always like, Yeah, but like, what about all that asshole shit that just happened and now you're just like, okay? Like, you're just okay? Like, there's no conversation that's like, hey, I'm really sorry. Like, I think I have issues with that in stories because like, he doesn't apologize. Like, he kind of just...
I do agree on this.
Right,
do
doesn't he? He kind of like has his own awakening, but he doesn't really...
He was a real asshole to her.
He's like an egomaniac.
In the end, we just go along
because it's a movie. So you just kind of like, you're like, all right, well, he's finding his way. And she's just like amazingly kind.
Because Karen Allen is amazingly kind.
She is. And I almost am like, come here, sister. Let's just, you know, like make him at least say he's sorry.
She has the most genuine eyes.
Oh my God. I love her.
Yeah. You know.
Yes. Isn't she in Indiana Jones?
She is. She is. Yeah.
But she's such a badass, man. I just like, oh, love her.
She did the drinking game.
That's right. Mm-hmm. My God. See, I've been exposed to some badass characters from a very young age. That's probably what my problem is. So this kind of bothered me that he, like, it's funny how I notice it now. Like, he comes in and he's kind of like, come on, let's get Chinese food. And then she's got to, like, make a phone call because they don't have any turkeys and something else. And...
I noticed that
he gets mad.
He's such an asshole.
She's like, let me just make the phone call. And he's like, forget it. And then I know it's part of his journey. Yeah, so we have to see him.
He does the thing where write him off, Claire.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, that comes to bite him in the ass later with the future ghost. But he gives the speech and she's just kind of like, okay, here I am.
I know. I don't quite buy it. That's like I said.
I mean, I know it's a movie.
It's rough. It is not perfect.
It's a little much though. But I was like, fuck. Yeah,
that doesn't
okay.
quite happen.
I give it a pass.
Let's backtrack to their actual like Christmas past.
Right. Right.
Their relationship is really good. Their chemistry
is
great.
It's really cute. Yes. Like, and they seem really authentic.
They seem so authentic. I remember watching that when I was younger. It's like, is this what it's going to be like to be like right. a grown-up adult where I could just be kind of cool and just have this dope-ass apartment in the middle of New York and just, you know, girlfriend is in a bathtub smoking pot and I'm just...
You're like, man, the 70s. It was like 69, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think I was around that time.
Like, that
yeah.
was the time. I think you could afford an apartment in New York then.
You know.
Not now.
It's just, like, I was like, oh, that could that be adult life? I'm not saying I've maybe lived close to that at times, but... It did set a high bar.
Yeah.
You know.
No, it seemed really cool. I was like, this looks fun. So anyway, that was my only my only criticism of the storytelling was just that.
I completely agree with you there.
I also was going to share at some point that like to this day, that is my favorite. My favorite part is when he goes to the shelter and he walks in ranting. And they throw the blanket on him. And then the other homeless people are like thinking he's Richard Burton.
Oh, we got a Wild and Willy one.
And then they're like, please, Mr. Burton, do a scene. And then he just rambles off that nonsense. That's the funniest. I swear, every time I see it, I just die laughing. I'm like, this is so funny.
And actually, my
favorite. Fold the ice wave. He's like, just nonsense. And then he just says that. And they're like this. And the one guy's like, oh, so good. So
you, you have the mother from Goonies.
Right.
I see the Richard Donner
so
coming
many
in.
People.
Bringing them all in. And actually, one of my top three favorite parts
sorry.
Is right before that.
The cat has come down. I'm so sorry.
Do you want to come over here, right in my lap? Do you want to stop me from breathing entirely?
I'll jump on your lap.
That's fine. Okay. They know when you're allergic. They come right at you.
I'll do that.
It's when he's looking for the address. And he's just, you know, and he's having like a crazy monologue about himself, like, I'm a widow of business. This is what I am, you know? And it's just, at least I can find a place when it's actually on the map. And he's like right in front of it. And he's like, okay, here we are.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, we got another one.
We got a Wild Willy one.
That's right. It's such a good, I mean, listen, we're annoying. I'm sorry. It's all I do.
Oh, I'm going to do a lot of bad impersonations.
There's
this
a lot of lines.
With my snuffly
yes.
cat nose.
So he's okay. So should we? I guess we can walk through it a little bit. Yeah. So he's an asshole. He fires what's his face?
Bobcat.
And I mean, it's pretty nasty what he does to him. It's like crazy. He just fires him. Is like, get him out of here.
And then he has a telescope to see him get fired.
Oh my God! I forgot.
And he actually times it.
Oh my God,
he times it.
Right. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think, when does it actually happen? Oh, it's that night, right? In his office.
That night where his old boss shows mm-hmm, up, mm-hmm. which was Marley
yes.
from the original.
Yeah.
And man, the effects.
Those are pretty good.
It's really good.
Yeah.
It is really fucking disgusting.
It's gross. Yeah.
With the rat in his head.
Yeah.
with the golf ball.
Yeah, and funny, because he shoots him up, and then when he drinks the drink, they just come pouring out of the holes, which I thought was awesome. He's just like, ugh. Which is, like, pretty, it felt like very Christmas Carol to me, like, the way that guy came in.
And also, just, you have the Bill Murray-ness of it, where it's just, you know, the ghost is like, and I was adored by women. He's like, ow! You bought the women. Come on.
Yeah, I think that's what's nice about it, because I guess, in a way, this is kind of a scary story. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't really think of it because I'm older now, but, like, just the idea of it is scary. Like, I wonder if people thought it was scary when they read it. Like, that these ghosts come and, like, with the chains, remember?
Oh, I think it's a very creepy thing.
It's scary. Yeah. Like, maybe that's why I always liked it, too, because I like scary
things. There's
a little
bit of a nightmarish quality to it, because it happens at night, and it's... But
yeah,
each
it's
one,
creepy.
It ratchets it up throughout it, where it's just like, the past is sweet, which we all look at our past, like, mm-hmm. with, like, rose-colored glasses. Your future, not your future, your present is dark and not dark, but kind of like just very, not, it's, well, it's a present. It's like,
it's
this,
the present.
It's a real life.
It's like really showing you what is happening when you think your present is one thing and then you're like, oh fuck, this is what's actually happening. Like, I didn't even look at it that way.
Yeah. And then you have the people like who look at future, where it's like, you have the person who's like, I can't wait for the future. You have the person who's like, oh, the future's coming.
Right,
you know,
right,
that kind of
right.
deal.
Yeah, and I guess maybe the point, too, is, like, he's a pretty miserable person. It's like, why is he so miserable? Like, what happened to this guy? You know, like, he might have all this power, but, yeah, he had an upsetting childhood.
Well, you know, he, at this point after, this is before he sees the ghost, so he gets the award.
Right.
You know,
oh, my God, I wrote something, what he says is so funny, by the way. Do you remember what he says about
giving till it hurts? Because I just can't. Yeah.
Sometimes, wait, I have to write. I wrote it down because I thought it was so funny. Sometimes I find myself hurting from giving too much, and I say, stop it.
And he clings it.
And then he leaves it in the taxi.
Yeah. And then you have him walking through, talking to his younger brother, who is also a Murray.
Yeah.
There's a lot of
Murray.
That's
right. You're right. Yeah, he is.
There's four Murrays in this. You have Brian Doyle Murray, who is his dad.
I didn't know that.
And then you have his actual brother, who is his younger brother, Murray.
Because I've seen him before.
And then when he's playing, you know, they're playing the games in the house, the guy right across from his brother is his other brother.
That's crazy.
Who was in One Crazy Summer, such a good comedy.
I did not know there were so many Murrays. Who knew?
Yeah, there's a lot of Murrays out
there. That's interesting.
So another cool aspect when he's walking through New York with his brother and they walk by the people playing music, like the blues, people playing around the fire. One, you had the main, well, he became Paul, look it up. The guy who was the musician for David Letterman.
Oh my gosh, Paul, you know what?
So he was a musician for David Letterman, but he was also the main guy who did the music for SNL when it started. But Paul Schrader, maybe?
Oh, maybe.
So, but the other person, older black man who's playing next to him is Miles Davis.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
And Bill Murray kind of made
that
happen.
Only in the 80s, man.
He actually wrote him a letter and like, we had this one scene. Could you just come play?
That's wild.
I know.
Wow, star-studded. Now where did I go with my brain?
Bring it back.
I don't remember. Okay, we can just, well, yeah, so like he's a dick. He's got to deal with looking at his past. That's the first thing.
Sure.
You know, it's funny. We all know the story so well that you're not really afraid of what's going to happen, but I'm trying to remember like if he thinks at the end of this he's going to die or like what's going to actually happen. First of all, if you were visited, I mean, we could get personal. If you were visited by a ghost that told you you're going to be visited by three ghosts and they're going to like, you know, take you through this experience, would you be like, this is bullshit? Or would you be scared? And then of course he is scared because it starts to happen.
Yeah.
Well,
let me ask you this.
Okay.
Of the three structures.
Yeah.
In the movie.
Yeah.
What was your favorite one? The past, the present, or the future?
Jeez. I mean, I kind of like the present because I do enjoy Carol Kane.
She's great.
Kicking the shit out of him which I thought was so funny and so on point.
She actually really hits him with the toaster.
Does she really?
She really did hit
him. I mean...
She fucked him up.
That's what I meant about the creativity of it. Like, I loved that she's this beautiful little, like, fairy, and then she just fucking beats him up. Like, it's so awesome to watch. And at this point, you kind of want him to be beaten up, because you're like, he's such an asshole. Yeah. Like, yes.
And also, like, slightly kinky, too. Yeah. I did not catch that I was a kid, but she's like, you know I like the rough stuff, don't you? Like, you know I love the rough stuff, Frank.
Right, and this is the thing with Murray, like, any part of this movie that even seems a little scary, if you're a kid, like... It's too funny, because he's just funny throughout the whole thing. Like, he's making jokes constantly, so you can't really take it that seriously. I'll ask you the same question. Like, what part was your favorite part of the...
So, I love...
The ghosts of...
The present because of the ghosts, but I probably go more towards the past.
Hmm.
I just love their love story.
Oh, right. That's true.
I'm a sucker for that one. Like, aww, I just feel like that's...
Look at you. That's great.
You know. I'm a softy. Yeah. So, yeah. And also, you know, having Buster Poindexter there, just...
He's great.
You know, and like...
He's great.
Seeing him as a little kid.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, talking about Attila the Hun when he saw his mother. Niagara Falls.
Niagara Falls. Yeah, that... I mean, I like the whole thing. I guess the least favorite is the future part.
Because it's dark and sad.
It's dark. And that did feel Tim Burton-ish to me, too.
Yeah.
Like, when they paint her face white, mm-hmm. and she's, like, just the whole style of that scene. Because it doesn't even look, like, real. They're just kind of like, what is this? Like, where is she?
Well, there's also, like, the added... So...
It's so cold.
I love the death design. Mm-hmm. You know, future death design. Where he opens up his thing, and there's just souls in his ribcage. It's really fucked up, man. I remember watching
it
that.
It is messed
up.
It's
oh my
pretty
God.
Good. I know.
He's like, he opened up and again. He's like, you know, we're going to get calls,
he's
right?
He's like, did our guys do that?
We're going to get calls,
like, did
right?
Did we do that? But that's why it's awesome, too, because they're doing a Christmas carol. So, like, there's people around the building and they've already seen this, like, death character, this guy that's going to play death. So he doesn't think it's death, which is so funny. That's why when he rips it open, he's like,
Well, even when he sees him, like, when they see the scene of the dead body, that's actually his dead body in there. He right. starts out, even then, kind of like a bit of a dick, where it's like he thinks it's his brother.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's like, oh, it's James. Why did this have to happen? And he's like, oh, no, there he is. Yeah. And then it's like, wait, who's in there? And then, you know.
Was the homeless guy that ends up frozen the present or the future?
So
I just forgot.
The homeless guy's a really fucked up thing.
It's really fucked up.
Because, like, when I was a kid, I kind of assumed that was, like, part of the dream state of it. And it's like, oh, wait, no, he fucking died down there.
I know, that's dark.
That's like, and that's, again, that goes to that Tim Burton where it's just like, oh, wow, this is a lot darker than I expected.
And how is this his fault? Because he just didn't care? That's what I was trying to put together. I'm like, well...
That one doesn't make a lot of sense. I feel like that is just for him to...
It's like raising the stakes
of
the story. Mm-hmm. Like, so they can, like, really bring it home. Because that is really sad. And then I'm like, oh my God, you know?
That's kind of making him care. Because it's like, he's making him angry. Like, what? You could have... You had Claire. You could have been saved. Why are you here?
Yeah, so he's mad. Yeah.
He's mad.
And it's also him facing his judgment around, like, not caring about people.
Mm-hmm.
Which, obviously, that's the worst case scenario, is that someone dies because you don't give a shit about them.
I'm gonna back it up.
Back it up.
You ready?
Yep.
Do you have a beep noise on this? Do you have a reverse beep noise?
I'd have to program this. That's an applause.
That's
that doesn't
not reverse
work.
Beep. That's fine.
Oh man, I don't have a beep.
It's fine.
This was what? Terrible. Terrible sound.
All right, let's go to one.
I only have four buttons. There's
one of my favorite
four
scenes.
Buttons here.
Is when they're having dinner before the first ghost appears, and he's having he starts like losing it. So it's like the new producer who he hates.
Yes, the guy's
boss,
on fire.
And Robert Mitchum is like his boss.
Yes.
And they're having the dinner, and he's starting to freak out.
Right.
And you know, there's an eyeball in the glass, and like the waiter. The very snooty waiter keeps correcting his English, you know, and it's just great. But, you know, after the guy's on fire and he's like, I thought you were Richard Pryor, which I did not understand that joke when I was younger, but now I get it, you know.
Right, right.
He has, I believe, one of the top three pratfalls of all time. when he walks out of there and slips on the water and does this 1, 2, 3, 4 fall kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's one of the best pratfalls I've ever seen.
It's awesome.
It's just, if you get any, like, audience, our huge audience out there, if you get anything from this podcast,
thank you for that.
Find this one scene and keep watching on how to fall properly. Bill Murray does the best pratfall.
He's great.
In that moment.
Yeah, he's so Because
he's
good.
Just so tall and gangly, and it just, he's got real shoes on.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
I'll have to rewatch
it. Watch it again.
I'll watch it again. Amazing. I mean, I've watched it so many times, but I
haven't dropped too many F-bombs. I'm going to say it again. It's fucking amazing.
We can say fuck here. That's what I like about podcasting. Please don't change that. We all want to say the F-word sometimes. True. I was just like, it's funny because like, I know we're just talking like about the film.
Are you getting texts while we're doing this?
Oh no, it just happens.
How dare you?
It's okay, I'm turning it off.
Okay.
I guess I don't need to get that personal, but like,
would this be effective
for you? Like, do you think there's been a moment where you need to have ghosts come and show you your life so you can like, I don't know. That's what I was thinking.
I mean, these days I rely on a therapist. Okay. So that's fine. That's kind of,
maybe we need to bring back this kind of therapy.
So I believe my therapist is very much in that line. So if I put him in like different costumes every time.
Is this Freudian? Are we getting too deep?
I was like, all right, you know, therapist who I will not name, let's just put you in a Ghost of Christmas Past today. God. We're going to go do this.
Yeah.
I'm feeling a little dark. We're going to do Christmas Future.
Yeah.
Here is the Reaper costume that I've got you.
Well, it's interesting. He's a guy who doesn't live in the future or the past. He's like really in the present most of the time. Bill Murray.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm just kind of noticing because like a lot of us do therapy and you take a look at your past, you look at your present. And I don't know if I spend that much time thinking about the future.
We don't think about the future.
I mean, maybe I worry about the future. That's been an issue, but like, and I think I've spent a lot of time looking at the past, to try and make sense of the present, but I don't know. I don't know if this would benefit me.
You don't need the ghost.
I just think
for you?
I only need the Ghost of Christmas Present. That's all I really need is to show me what's good about the present.
No, I believe I need my past. I need the past to go in, like, you know, like to see where the roots of this fucked up existence started. You know, it's like, you know how you're failing right here. 1988.
So you're doing some deep Freudian therapy where you're like going way back.
Yeah, going
way back to the beginning of your childhood.
You know, you did this one thing.
Yeah.
You could have been better.
Yeah, I don't know.
You should be better.
I don't know. I've definitely done too much therapy and this is way more fun. I would love a couple ghosts to come visit me. I think that idea is really fascinating.
It's streamlined. It's streamlined story. It's
well,
streamlined
I'll
therapy.
Tell you why it's interesting. And this is probably why I liked this story growing up is that we can remember what we remember. Like even when he goes and actually has to see, I mean, that's insane, that ability that he gets to go. And it's not like your memory of your childhood. It's like, here it is actually. And like, you're going to walk into the living room and here's yourself as a child and here's your mother. That's a totally different experience because that's actually what it is instead of what you remember from it. So that's fascinating to me. Like, if we could all do that, what would that mean? I bet you money we probably would be shocked at how wrong our stories are of our past.
Oh, that's what we all...
Like, it's probably not even half true. It's just what you
That's kind of
now,
the fucking problem of the whole human existence, is we all shape our stories now. To, like, lean towards what we want.
Right,
There's no, like, you know...
So what would it look like to actually walk into a moment from your childhood?
It'd be really depressing. It'd be really depressing. It probably won't...
Would you walk away being like, my mom is awesome. I'm such an asshole. Like, she was working hard.
Yes, probably.
Probably,
and
right?
The stories we tell will probably not be nearly as dramatic. It'll be like, oh, this is a matter of fact. And this is real life. This is kind of boring.
Yeah, you're like, that kid wasn't even mean. He just said one thing. And then his dad beat him every day after school. Like, you don't even know what's wrong.
You don't really know what's wrong.
He didn't even mean that.
I didn't even save the day or get the varsity star or the girl. I got none of that. I never left the couch.
Right, exactly. Right. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
it's well, and they tap into that a little bit because he says no, remember that time that girl ran down the hill to me and she was in pigtails?
You're so pathetic. Like, you're so pathetic.
He's like, that was Little House on the Prairie.
But I love the specific of it was like, homecoming episode of Little House?
Yes.
Homecoming episode of Little House.
But I guess they are like kind of bringing up that point that like, your memories are bullshit, actually. Like, this is what it was, you know? Accept it. Like, this was your childhood. And, so I guess they do that in the movie. But I was trying to think, like, with
the benefit.
He also
has, like, the veal joke, which is great. God. Is like, I was given a gift. A six-year-old gets, what is today's market, a $40 piece of milk-fed veal.
I know. He's like, get a job. Because he says something about him being four, when an excuse or something. People don't want to work. I'm only four.
And also I looked, I was like, that's not a four-year-old.
Oh, right. That is not a four-year-old. That is not a four-year-old. Yeah, meanwhile, I had questions after that scene because the mom's like, I'm going out. And I'm like, where is she going? They don't clarify that at all. Is she going out? Like, first of all, she's pregnant.
I do like the pregnancy with her brother, which kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
It makes it seem all of that family aspect. Mm. It's a good little touch, I think.
Yeah, but where did she go? Because she just decided, I'm going out.
Well, because her dad's an asshole.
I guess, but I thought, like, what is she doing? Like, where is she going to go?
The great Brian Doyle Murray is an asshole.
Mm. Well, okay. So I guess, all right, well, we can go along with the story a little bit. So then, now we're in the present, which happens... When is he on the set when that happens?
Yeah, because they are like, they go for lunch and they keep turning out all the lights.
Yeah.
So there is, I might quote this more on a set than anything else.
Okay.
So when he's trying to talk to Claire.
Okay.
And, you know, he's trying to have a moment. They're actually having a good moment. And he just starts like, could you just stop the hammering for one moment. Because this is the thing I quote more than, like, maybe two people on a set that I'm working will know what I'm doing and they just kind of give me that wink.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just keeps escalating where it's like, for the love of God,
and
your own body, could you stop the goddamn
hammering? Right.
Yeah. No matter what the noise is, I always refer to it as the goddamn hammering.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then he sees the fairy, whatever she is.
Yeah. What's her name again?
Carol Kane. I mean, she's classic. Yes. I mean, she's been around forever. But, and then, of course, he has to see, like, his secretary's life. And that life is, like, I don't know. It's kind of magical, isn't it? Even though it's, like, kind of sad.
Brutal.
It is, but they're so happy.
I think that's the whole point. That's the whole point. It's like he's rich, but no one loves him.
Well,
everyone in his family loves each other.
Yeah, he has no partner. He's sitting in his office drinking at the end of the day. Like,
you know, they're torturing Tiny Tim, like making him to a Christmas tree.
I know. Yeah.
Still, it's funny.
Well, big families. Kids do weird shit.
But I love the smart little, like, to show how smart he is.
Yeah,
like, little, like,
that was cool.
Where they have the game and he just spins it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, wow.
I will say that's another thing I liked about this is, like, there's always, like, in any version of this, like, the whole Tiny Tim thing is kind of cliche and it's a little bit like, oh, my God, here's Tiny Tim. But that was kind of, it's not corny or even though, like, you kind of get what they're doing with him, it's great. Like, I didn't find it to be...
No, it was never cloying. It was never too much.
No, it's like, it like works, which is interesting because that could have not worked on a million levels. Like,
no, it could have been... It could have been
terrible.
It could have been just so saccharine and just so too much. And you even get...
But it's great.
One of the best lines in the film where he's, you know, he's talking. Bill Murray's talking to, you know, who is supposedly the love of his life. And then switches into pure asshole mood. Like, what are you doing here?
Right,
like,
right.
Yelling at no one. He's like, get off this set.
Yeah.
And then it's tiny, you know, it's a little kid.
It's a little kid.
And he's like, who's your parents? And like, you know, his secretary comes over and just like, it's mine. He's like, all right, well, yeah, you beat him.
God. He just goes back and forth.
God,
you know?
the you beat him line.
Yeah,
oh, it gets
that's
me
bad.
Every time. It's so good.
He's funny though. I don't know why. I think only Bill Murray can pull that off.
It is. There's a certain, like, that Chicago accent with a certain amount of inflection. All right, you beat him.
Yeah, he can, like, you can do no wrong, even though that's, like, a terrible thing to say. I don't know. What else?
I mean, there are certain people that are just have a certain likability that could be an asshole no matter what.
True.
And
true.
They could say something really fucked up and everyone still kind of
yeah.
likes them for what they do.
Yeah.
Which my ex-wife says I have. She says, you can say really fucked up things and everyone still kind of wants to talk to you. I don't really get it. She's like, if I say it, they're not going to talk to me for That's a right. year. But you do it with your stupid fucking smile and it's all fine.
Must be your energy, Rob. You don't have that. Yeah, because I think it's like, but I think when people, the way they
say
are.
Say with a shit-eating grin?
Well, I think it's your intention. Like, you know when somebody's intentions are mean and cruel and like, that's when it, you know. And maybe that's why his like secretary doesn't ever really like she's annoyed by him, but I don't think she hates him.
No.
Right. So like there's something in there, which is what we need, or otherwise we would never like this guy to start, because what's likable about him?
Yeah.
Because that's another movie thing too. Like, why would we like this guy? Because he's kind of funny, and because
if it wasn't Bill Murray, we would not.
You're right. We wouldn't like him. It's kind of like Groundhog Day too, because he's kind of an asshole in that movie too.
Yeah,
but then he becomes so likable, right?
But yeah, he's just.
It's interesting.
Well, Groundhog Day has a much more.
I should talk about that one.
Progression. We should do that one too.
Yeah,
like the progression of that is so.
God, it's so
better.
Like,
it better in just like he gets there. He actually gets better, and then fucks up, and then mm-hmm. slowly he works on himself.
Right.
And then right. he gets there at the end.
Yeah.
You know.
That was hard for me to watch the first time. I don't know why. It was like hard to get through. And then once I got it, I was like, oh, this is awesome.
Oh, I saw in the theater. I remember I got like, I snuck in a big stupid Wawa sub.
Did you?
And like eating it like a sad bastard in the theater. This like big meatball sub in the dark.
That's the best. I think it's funny when people do that. I used to do that too. And then you can smell it. Like you're like, somebody's eating Chinese food in here. What's going on? Like, what is that smell?
And the girl was like, is it fucking eating a sub right there?
Even damn
though,
right.
Even though that's
damn
normal right. now, there's theaters that like have like steak dinners and shit, which I am not behind. I'm not a
that's
fan
a little
of.
Much.
It's too much. I don't
want to
hear
I
clinking.
Don't want people to come in and serve you in the middle of a movie.
No.
Like, you're getting service. Like, that's a little, like, I don't know. Sneak and snack is fine. Sneak and dinner, sneak it. It's probably less quieter than popcorn, actually.
I mean, my younger self or could sneak candy. In a hoagie. I don't really have that. I don't have the balls anymore.
You don't need
to do
that now. No, it's okay.
I don't have the chutzpah to do that anymore.
Do you go to the movies much anymore?
Always, yeah.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
Yeah.
Where do you go?
Midway.
Okay.
I know the theater at Milford is better.
I haven't been to that one.
It's beautiful. It's really nice.
Is it cool?
But it's like
far.
That's far. It's just Midway's kind of been my theater for so long.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That it's just kind of my like.
I love it there.
Yeah,
yeah. I do. I go there all the time.
I tend to okay.
$7 Tuesdays, everyone. If you're local.
So my
it's happening.
One of my normal rituals now, mm-hmm. doing as we're discussing being the divorced dad and all that, the week on week off thing. Mm-hmm. So I do the switch usually on Thursday.
Oh.
That's a switching day.
Right.
Where I drop him off at school and then Aaron picks him up there. So it's like.
Nice.
You know, being a single parent, you're in it really
yes.
seriously. And then when you get that like let go of just like, well, okay, I'm completely on my own. Those first few days are kind of fun.
Yeah.
So my ritual, if I don't have anything really special going on. I usually meet my buddy Ian for like, you know, a drink at like Kindle or something because he owns that place.
Nice.
And, you know, we catch up with each other, see how it's going. And then I would usually get on my stupid little scooter.
Why is it stupid?
Because it's a scooter. It's stupid. It's stupid.
Just be careful. I'm always afraid with people on motorcycles.
This is my closest thing
even
to a midlife.
Scooter, I'm like, don't die.
You know, like midlife crisis, people get like a Lamborghini or a really
you got
sports
a scooter.
Car. I got a scooter.
You got a scooter and a dog. I'm just kidding.
It's true.
It's
it
true.
All happened.
You did it all.
So I would get on my scooter, ride over to Midway.
Mm-hmm.
And 1776 is like right next
yeah,
to it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll walk in, maybe get like an old fashioned or something and
right.
just talk because I know the bartenders there, talk to them for a little bit. And then I'll go see.
Do you go by yourself?
Yeah, always. I've always done that.
That's so funny. I'm starting to meet people that do this often.
I never thought of it as a weird thing.
I mean, I kind of like it too, but it's like, now that I hear this, I'm like, why aren't we all going? Let's go start a club.
I mean, to
all
me,
the people that work for themselves.
I'd rather
you
we
like
see
going
a movie.
Alone?
I'd rather see him. I don't care about going. I just want to go see a movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to go to a theater because it makes me shut everything down.
Yes.
I don't.
Wait, wrong one.
That was wrong. There you go.
Please, everyone. Woo. Go ahead. Sorry. sorry. I'm just mad. I want people to go to the movies.
So I just, you know, like the distractions are gone. I don't have anything at the house. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to see things on a big screen.
I do too.
I like the all encompassing, like I'm just shutting down and this is what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. It makes me happy. And yeah, if I'm half in the bag, it's also better. So that's good.
Listen, just go. Just go. We want people to... It's expensive, but it's cheap on Tuesdays.
It's not that expensive. Really, $14.
I know. I mean, can we just support the movie business?
If you go out to a bar, you're going to buy one drink for $14. That's true.
Do you think it's going to go under the movie business?
I don't think it ever will.
I mean, like, well, not the movie business because we have TVs in our houses.
Theaters will always be around.
You think so?
I think it's just always going to be... It'll slightly adjust and... Okay. Yeah. Okay. They'll always be here.
Well, it's getting into an hour, but I did want to ask if there's any... did you have anything else you want to share about this movie? Or do you think we've...
All right, let's go.
Hold on, you've got notes. Let's get into your notes.
Can I do the notes? Paper notes?
Please bring out your notes. You got like pages, dude.
Well, no, it's just very...
We didn't even get in...
It's okay. Sad handwriting.
Okay. All right. Good. I'm so glad.
Hold on. Nope, did the Richard Pryor thing.
Did the Richard Pryor thing.
Yep, we did Carol Kane. Like the rough stuff.
Yes.
We did get to one of my... her. How she says...
What did she say?
Close your eyes.
Oh,
and
right.
And everybody's like, yeah.
Close your eyes.
And then she hits him with the toaster and actually hits him with the toaster.
That's so good.
Oh, man. I feel like we did... I mean, we got Murray in the coffin really burning.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, does that happen in A Christmas Carol? Do they, like, think they're going to die?
No, he's just, he sees himself buried.
And then it's, like, terrifying.
He sees his grave, like, you know.
Well, and I think what's sad about that moment is there's nobody there. Like, it's like, we all think about that. Like, who's going to be there at my funeral, right? Like, what's that thought that we all have? I don't really have that thought, actually. But, yeah, like, who's going to be there? And it's sad because it's just his brother. And... yeah, I mean that.
His ridiculously hot wife.
And his hot wife. Yeah, she's good. And
have you watched Shrinking?
I have. I have to finish it though. I haven't seen all of it.
His wife is Harrison Ford's girlfriend.
Well, she's been in a lot of things. She's great. Yeah, yeah, she's really great.
And actually, oh my god, I'm tying it around.
Bring it around.
Dream On. We talked about Dream On.
Yes, you're right.
That's his ex-wife.
Oh, my God. That's weird.
Uh-huh.
I can't believe you remembered the name of that.
I pulled that shit right around. Really, tied it up. That's what I do.
That show, I remember it so well. I think it's because I liked the whole concept of it. Like, he was relating life to TV. And
it was also really ahead of its time. It was very grown up.
It was cool. Yeah, it was really cool. I'm like, can we bring that show back? You guys regurgitate everything. Like, let's do some good things. Like, some of the stuff that I see, I'm like, what the fuck? Why do we have to see that again?
Yeah.
And like badly
like
now.
Mustafa's out and it's like, I have no...
I haven't even gotten into what's playing right now, but like trying to find like better movies to watch. Do you have any suggestions? Any picks?
Just go see Scrooged. We got a few days left.
Are there any classic movies that are like Christmas related that you still like?
Did I go to?
Let's keep it at Christmas. Christmas!
Well, we're talking like Elf. That is probably the
Elf is good.
Elf is probably... Oh, you know what? I'm going to give a suggestion out because Rector and I really love this one.
Which one?
The Night Before.
Just The Night Before.
Just The Night Before.
Is this new? No.
It's not new, but it's relatively new.
Okay.
It's got David Gordon-Levitt. David Gordon-Levitt.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. He was on Third Rock from the Sun and Looper and all that.
Yes, Looper's good.
And 50-50. So actually...
Yeah, okay.
So this is the director of 50-50 and the writer.
Got it.
And it's Seth Rogen and it's The Night Before. So what happened in the film is David Gordon-Levitt's parents died on a few days before Christmas.
Okay.
And he was in college. And he was really depressed. So his best friends came and really took him out the night before Christmas to just
like help him.
Help him. Get him drunk. Yeah, get him out there. Yeah, get him out of himself and all that.
Okay.
And so they're getting older and this is going to be the kind of like their last night out. Okay. And they're always chasing this one party that it's like the biggest party in like New York, but it's like an underground thing that you have to get invited to and all that.
Always
you
is.
Know, always yes. is. But that is kind of mm-hmm. what it is. But it's really funny. It looks great. And it's probably the best Christmas movie I've seen in the modern era after like Elf.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. This is me and this is Rector. We watched this. All right,
you
year.
Heard it here, guys.
The
night
two
Robs before.
Say yes. The night before.
The night before. And of course this one.
This is amazing.
And I don't have any that I can like.
There was another one I told you about, like the rare exports. Remember I told you about where it's like this weird Swedish movie that it's about like the real Santa Claus. And it's like a horror film. It's fucked up.
Okay.
Like you thought Krampus is weird? This is the greatest fucked up strange.
Oh my gosh.
So like Santa Claus is this huge beast that is in ice that is slowly getting thawed. Instead of elves,
that's
you know,
weird.
You have really old men that are essentially naked who will eat children if they're not good. So like
that's so messed up.
It's really fucked up.
Oh my God. Guys, be good for Santa.
So
you better be good.
If you want to see some weird fucked up shit, Rare Exports.
Okay, for the effed up people, there you have it.
What else we got?
What's I don't know. I don't know.
If you got families, the new Grinch is good. I like that animated one.
Oh, okay.
That's good. It's adorable. I watched that one a lot with Graham.
Nice.
I mean, obviously, we have the Christmas Story.
Christmas Story. My brother watched that like a million times. He like watched it so many times growing up.
I try to watch it once a year.
It's a
big childhood staple.
And it's still a weird one, right? Like, even for the time, I was like, this is bizarre, this movie. It's kind of, like, very original.
And it was, like, panned and no one saw it. And then it became, like, this huge thing.
Oh, my God, it's crazy. I'll try to think of some more. I don't really... It's funny. I do like It's a Wonderful Life, even though, like, some people don't love that movie. I don't know. For a classic film, I kind of like it. I like a good black and white movie every once in a while.
Yeah. I
guess it's like it's so standard Christmas. Like, well, it's either that or what? What are the big ones for that time? White Christmas.
White Christmas.
White Christmas is good.
That's good. That's a good rewatch. I like that.
That's
it's
a good one, too.
It's such a time period.
It's great. And they're singing and it's fun.
And now that I know that he didn't actually beat his kids that came out, that it's a lot easier to watch. Was that a weird sign up?
I didn't know. I did not know that. I didn't think about that at all.
You know what I'm talking about, right? What's his name?
Bing Crosby?
Yeah, like it was a real big thing that he like.
He beat his kids?
His kids said that he beat the shit out of them.
Oh my God. My grandma listened to him constantly.
And it was like one of those things where it was like, ooh, this was a lot darker. And then it came out like a few years ago, like the kids were like, they lied.
Wow.
It came, the truth, like they're like, no, he didn't do anything. He was fine.
Oh,
he just drank too much.
Sorry, Bing. Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. But, well, there's lots of Christmas movies for everyone. Just go to Hallmark or go to, like, anywhere, right? Netflix even has a bunch.
Yeah.
I mean, they're everywhere.
Well, there's, you know, you got your, what's the big one this year?
People like The Holiday.
Hot Frosty. That's a big one.
What? Yes, please explain.
I didn't watch it.
I literally scrolled and I was like, is that for real?
Hot
I'm like,
Frosty's
that's
a big
joke.
Deal. That's a big deal.
What is that about? Wasn't there a horror movie that was like a B horror movie where Frosty the Snowman like...
Well, there was Jack Frost
but then there was...
Like, which was...
Yeah, that was Michael Keaton,
Michael
right?
Keaton is a jazz singer who died and became a snowman.
Oh my God.
And then there was... there was like...
No, there's been like...
There was like the evil snowman movie.
Oh my God.
That actually had multiple sequels, but that was like in that like shitty sci-fi, like anyway, yeah.
You guys talked about Christmas movies.
Hot Frosty.
Oh my God. You're making me want to watch that. I had a friend in high school, this guy, Tony, are you still out there? He used to purposefully get all of us together to watch.
I think we have a call in.
Very bad B movies.
We did that. I grew up that way.
Did you do that too? Yeah. And we did watch one. My glasses do not. How did you do this? I was just trying to see like what are the top Christmas movies. Christmas Vacation. My family's obsessed with that movie. So like that always happens. What about Bad Santa?
That's very enjoyable.
I really liked Bad Santa.
Yeah, Bad Santa's pretty great.
It's so good.
I don't watch it that often.
I mean, it's
almost
not
like one
for
of those
kids.
Things. It's
you
like
can't
almost
like watch
so
that.
Dark. Or I'm
yeah,
like,
you can't watch
I don't
that
know
with.
If I'm... Yeah. I think the kid is just so disgusting in it that I'm like, I have a hard time with it.
He's
just such a shit boy of a kid.
They have Die Hard in here.
Of course they do.
Oh, weird. Well, anyway, there's a lot of them out there, guys. Hot Frosty. Yeah, you see all this?
This is fun. That one was fun.
Violent Night is good.
Violent Night's a lot of fun. So it's just Die Hard and Santa Claus.
I do like that actor.
Yeah, it's fun.
He's great. This is the one you just talked about, The Night Before. Yeah. And I think Polar Express. Oh boy, it's such a deep dive. And then there's all the scary ones.
There's a lot of scary, like
that's
Night Before. New. And all,
I cannot believe Hot Frosty.
Hot Frosty.
That's hilarious. Have you seen it?
No.
Oh man, I kind of want to see it now. All right. Well, listen, guys, we're going to end this, but thanks for joining us. Rob, thank you for being here.
Can I ask what's
the time? Did you need to plug yourself or anything?
No, I don't have to do anything.
Okay.
What is our time frame on this? How long did we go here?
I mean, I could go forever. We're only over an hour, like an hour and four.
Okay. All right.
It's fine.
It's a podcast. Fuck it. We did it.
I could be doing this forever. So like, I'm good. I feel like did we do it justice on this movie? Because it is really worth it, guys.
Please go see Scrooge.
I mean,
I know that
it's not everyone loves him. Maybe how can you not?
At least make it.
It's so good. You'll cry at the end.
Watch it once to the end, because the end is like nothing you've ever seen.
So good.
Yeah,
and it's funny. Okay, that's all I'm gonna say. You have anything else?
Oh, let's go. Okay, 5 minutes. 5 minutes.
It's fine. Go do it. I don't care.
Let's run this fucker to 2 hours. So.
5 minutes just turned into 55
minutes. Top five Murray movies. Your top five.
Oh, my God. All right, let me think. Well, I mean, I love Stripes because that's like one of the first movies I've ever seen him in. Ghostbusters.
I love the first half of Stripes.
Yeah, you're right. The first half is good. Stripes, Ghostbusters, obviously, and top five. Yikes. I do like Lost in Translation, obviously, mm-hmm. This one. I mean, that's already four.
Yeah. All right, so
I know there's more. So
number one for me is Lost in Translation.
So good.
I feel like it's a perfect film, and it also does something where it shows the wonder, but also loneliness of travel.
And I like Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day is probably number two.
So that's five. Yep. I think I did five.
Ghostbusters three.
Okay, you've been in order. Look at you.
Four, Scrooged.
Scrooged.
Now, then you get into this part here. This is like a little bit. There's like a little. There'll be asterisks because I guess Stripes could be there.
I know. I guess you're right. It's more of an ensemble, but it's my first exposure to him, and I just think it's like.
But then you go into like Rushmore. Rushmore is amazing.
Yeah, actually, that is really good.
Rushmore is amazing. Yeah, so that definitely has to be there.
Yeah.
And you know he should have won an Oscar for that. Then you have Broken Flowers, another great film.
Oh right. I'm trying to pull up all of his movies. What about Bob?
I love What About Bob.
It's a good one. And St. Vincent is good, too. Did you ever see that?
Yeah, I like that.
I mean, it's not like...
Oh, my God. You got Life Aquatic?
I know. There's too many.
Let's keep going. What do we got here?
There's...
We Can Avoid Garfield.
I loved Isle of Dogs. Did you see that?
I didn't love it.
I kind of liked it.
You know, the thing is, I loved Fantastic Mr. Fox. I did not love that one.
Oh, my God. Tootsie. I know he's like a sidebar character, but
he's
like,
really good.
He's so good.
He's so good in that one.
Wow. I love Tootsie, actually.
Oh, there is The Man Who Too Little. It's the elephant movie on here. Are they even showing it? Larger Than Life?
I don't even know what you're talking about. Larger Than Life. I don't even see it here. They have some weird ones, too.
I saw it in the theater.
Ed Wood, of course.
Yeah, he was great in Ed Wood. Well, that you know,
Quick Change.
Oh my God,
Quick Change.
Quick Change is fucking great.
Oh, I should rewatch that.
You should watch that. Oh,
the Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah, small part. But Quick Change is directorial debut.
So good.
And we watched that
cast.
In my neighborhood all the time.
Growing up, I forgot how awesome this is. All right, I might go on like a Bill Murray kick now. Well, there's so much to see, guys.
You know what? At the end of this,
so much.
Go see Quick Change.
Yeah,
I think I'm going that way. I'm going that way. Go see Quick Change.
Quick Change is so good.
It's so strange.
It's a good chaser
yes.
to this other movie because It's a comedy.
And if you ever got lost in New York, it just hits such a right note because you see strange shit when you get lost in New York.
Yeah, this is a great movie, guys. All right. Anything else, Rob?
I feel like we're good.
I feel good.
I feel good. I think we
thank you so much for being here. Corners.
Of course.
Oh, my God. I'm back.
The right button.
I'm back.
You didn't do the rim shot because I thought you were going to do the rim shot.
I didn't. I mean, this one's good, too. I could end every episode like this.
It becomes something else. We're going to go do something different now. That's just, yeah, all right.
All right, that's enough with the soundboard. Well, thanks for joining us. And
thanks for
I hopefully,
me.
Thank you. And thank you guys, whoever's out there. And if you're really struggling on Christmas with your family, we got you. Just plop in your AirPods and listen to this. Yeah, and then January will start. Maybe I'll be consistent.
We'll talk through all the fucked up shit that's going to happen the next week or so.
I know. Well, I have more time now, so maybe I'll do more episodes. All right, guys. I'll see you next time. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks for having me.
All